In this episode of Bear Podcast,
rest in peace, David Bowie.
Oregon Militia, erotic fanfic.
Kink sex saved my life.
Gay kiss at the hockey game.
And the man who sets himself on fire because of bed bugs.
All these and your emails coming up. Stay tuned. Bear Podcast 597. Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needed to be slapped.
Strip cards against humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
That is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Yes, welcome to episode 597. It's a Monday, January 11, 2016. It's the second episode of the year. And actually, it's a, which, I should show the house right now because it's still Christmas here.
Well, Epiphany just got here on Tuesday of last week. So, or Wednesday of last week, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you're okay.
It's still Epiphany, okay.
Yeah. She's in town for about a week, you know.
Yeah. I was in New Orleans last weekend. I came from Wizard World Comic Con in New Orleans. And guess who I had a photo op with?
Leonard Nimoy.
No, he is dead.
Yes, but just New Orleans, his ghost could be there.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, I had a photo op with William Shatner. So I thought I was the first one. And then I figured, he said, photo ops starts at 11 a.m. And then I was at the autograph area. I was the first one. So I was thinking, there's something wrong here. How come I'm the first one here? And then I realized this is the autograph section, not the photo op section. So I had to go to the photo op section. And then, oh, this is a long line already. People already lining up. And then there was probably a few hundred people just wanting to have a picture with him. So,
and how much did that picture at Queen Billy cost?
You don't want to know. I don't want to say that on air. It's a lot, but it was worth it. You know why? Because I stole a video. I got a video of me having a picture with him. So It's for real. So some friends, I sent a picture of my photo up with William Shatner, and people were saying, hey, that looks fake. You know, it's like one of those cardboard things.
Yeah.
So what he did was,
well, they just walk him in and prop him up anymore, don't they?
Yeah, he does look like a cardboard. He looks like cardboard anyway. Yeah, so much makeup and everything. Anyway, so I did go in and it was just bam, bam, bam. 5 seconds per person. Once you stand, you get out. So it was
nice to meet you, Mr. Shatner.
No, just a look and a smile, and then you can't even say hi, or because it's like a conveyor belt. Yeah. Just go, picture, go, picture, go, picture, go. So yeah, barely 5 seconds.
iPhone assembly line in China.
That's right. But you know what I did? Okay, so I was kind of sneaky. So I have my bag and everything, but I was already recording on my phone, and then there was a. And then I saw, oh, there's a table right across where William Shatner is. So I said, okay, can I pop my bag here? Because I have a bag and everything. Okay, sure. My jacket and bag. So I put it down. But then it propped up my camera. So I was able to take a video of me and William Shatner. So yeah, it was cool.
Well, I said that pic that you sent of the two of y'all together.
Mm-hmm.
A certain young person that was here this weekend.
Uh-huh.
They're like, who is that?
Oh, my God. Bam, get out.
I packed their shit up and threw them out the front door. I did not have that time for that kind of negativity in my life. Just did not have time for that kind of negativity in my life.
Poor guy. Anyway, so yeah, it was a fun con. And then I got to see Scott Wilson. He played Herschel in the Walking Dead series. And of course, the topic was, of course,
zombies.
Zombie apocalypse. And what would you do? People were going up, you know, to the microphone is asking, what do you do when you do this? How do you feel about this and that? How do you feel about Maggie and Glenn having a baby? You know, and then you know his answer is,
what?
He said, oh, that's great. That's okay. Yeah, that's great that they have a baby. it's going to be zombie food later on. So, yeah, the audience kind of laughed about that. But then, of course, he was there not only because of Walking Dead. He was also talking about Damien. You've been hearing about that? Damien, his horror TV series. It's like 30 years after the Damien
movies
from before. Because he was a kid then. Now he's a grown-up.
So, is Herschel playing him as a grown-up?
No, I think he's one of the characters, supporting characters with Damien, okay. Something like that. I'm not sure yet. I'm sure he's not going to play Damien. He's too old for 30 years after. He's been in the movie business for 50 years. So I don't think he's going to be Damien. Anyway, it was really fun. I hung out with Ed and Chuck. So shout out. They were wearing Star Trek.
I saw your little Star Trek uniform there. Yeah.
Ed looked great and Chuck looked great. But Ed looked, he was wearing shades. Everybody thought, oh, it's Jodie LaForge. Jodie LaForge. Yeah, so it was pretty cool. And there are so many ninjas. Jedis. There's so many Jedis. Of course, there are many cosplay. I'm talking about cosplay. There were many Reys. R-E-Y, not this Rey, but many Reys,
hey.
The female Rey. And there's a lot, of course, lots of Kylo Ren and lots of Obi-Wan, you know, Jedi and everything. And it's pretty cool. There's a Wonder Woman, there was a Iron Man. Oh, there were Daleks. You can actually ride a Dalek. There is one that you can go inside.
We don't even know about your sexual escapades.
No, that kind. Oh, my God. That's a very vague. Are you talking about ejaculate? No, that's a very vague. I don't know if our audience remember that episode. But anyway, it was, you can, if you guys watch Doctor Who, there's a Dalek there. You walk around and you roll inside it and then there are controls. You move around for 10 minutes.
You can
move
the toilet plunger.
Yes, you can. You can move the toilet plunger. Anyway, so that was my weekend. It was great. I had fun. I only had tickets for 2 days. And I don't know, 10,000, 20,000? There's so many people who came.
I'm sure it was packed.
It was really packed. It's not as big as San Diego Comic-Con, but it was a lot of people. There's a lot of people. And I bought some comic books. I just remembered. I bought some X-Men comic books.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's one of my favorite series anyway.
Did they preview any TV shows or movies while you were
not at all. It's all panels. They didn't preview anything. Like I said, it's not as big as San Diego, because San Diego Comic-Con, they would always have these previews of upcoming series, of upcoming season of The Flash or whatever. But we didn't have any of those. It's mostly panels. What are you going to do with the zombie apocalypse? What do you need to do? Get water, stuff like that. Common sense stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's one for a Q&A what do you call this? How to create props and create masks and everything. And there's one that I attended, TV shows that became comic books. You see that? See mm-hmm. what they did there? It's different from, there's a comic book that became a TV show.
So, like Star Trek?
Like Buffy the Vampire
Buffy
Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Firefly.
Firefly, yeah. So it was a TV show, a series, but then they continued it on comic books.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that too. So, there's also comic books that became TV shows, that became TV, like The Flash. Yeah. The Flash became a TV show and then became a comic book.
Premiered last week.
The what?
Shannara Chronicles that premiered last week. That was a comic book.
That's a comic book too? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Shannara one. Anyway, yeah, they mentioned that too, Shannara. And yeah, it's very interesting. And these are people who are working at libraries. They're saying that these comic books are available here at the New Orleans Library. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so those are the panels I attended. And food wasn't so great. You know, it's not even New Orleans food. You know, chicken fingers and everything. So I didn't enjoy the food too much.
Well, it's a convention center.
It's a convention. Well, not like the one in Houston. They have pasta. They have chicken Alfredo. They have marinara sauce. I mean, here you know, in the conventions here in Houston, they serve those, but over there, just hamburgers and you know, like
because they're covered. Their conventions are basic.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And then
basic.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. That it was a lot of fun. I'm going again next year. It depends. Mike, buy me another ticket. Maybe we should go. Maybe. Ray, you should go too. You should check it out. Maybe. Okay, Ray. So how about you?
I had game night here at the house. We played canasta like all Mexican women. So Julio got butt hurt because he didn't win.
Sorry.
Poor Ryan gets a hard time from Julio.
Oh, really? He was giving him a hard time. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? He kept saying
pretty
that,
much,
right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I played canasta once or twice, maybe. I played it once on one game night that I got invited rarely. I mean, just once in my lifetime. And then,
well, it's because you're always so busy and can't commit.
Yeah. Well, there was a time that I could commit. I could commit this weekend. And there was one time it was Super Bowl and we were playing canasta also. I think we were doing it at Johnny's and we were watching Super Bowl at their place. And then I played canasta. That's one of the last times I played. I played twice in my life. So
we had a game night at Julio's last weekend. And it was just a few different people. And we taught Ryan and Jason how to play. And then this weekend, I was like, hey, Martin, why? You want to come join us play canasta? Because that's who we used to play canasta with all the time. And we kind of got out of that. We broke the habit. So.
Oh, yeah.
But that's about the extent of my, other than trying to teach Ryan how to drive.
Oh, that's right. How did that go?
I understand what parents go through now. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
But I did a lot of this jerking in the car. And stuff, but, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So I like to talk about what an electronic device that it's in the garage right now. Can I talk about that briefly?
You can talk about it briefly.
Okay.
Let's not bring up bad memories.
Why? Was it bad memories?
Because it died on me.
Oh, yeah, but...
And it wanted $1,200 to fix it.
Yeah, but inside it is data that can live again.
We hope.
Oh, we hope. It'll work.
If the hard drive didn't get fried.
We can check. We can check later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I got it out.
Anyway, so... I could probably say that HEM could live again.
I know. Those are on other drives.
Oh, there's another drives? Oh, forget it then.
Yeah, they're on other drives. This is just like video. I think this is personal videos, music, and photos. And
what? Stuff. All along I was thinking the porn was there.
No, that's on other drives that I got.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, okay, what we're talking about is this
my iMac.
Ray's iMac.
Died like 5 years ago. It got hit by lightning that came through the internet, through the phone, cable modem.
Yeah,
I had AT&T Universe, and it fried the Mac and the TV and the modem and everything else. Luckily, I had insurance on the TV. It was only 6-7 months old, so they replaced the motherboard on it. But I took the Mac in to Apple, and they're like, oh, it's going to probably take about $1,200.
Forget it.
$1,200, I can buy a new one.
You can buy a new one.
I know, exactly. So
here, get the hard drive in.
Yeah, and then Ryan was like, well, you know, you can order parts and we can fix it. I was like, no.
No.
We're done.
Not worth it.
We're laying it at rest.
Yeah.
We're taking the heart out and we're putting it to rest.
That's right. Anyway, before we go on with our next topics, I would like to do a shout out to Ben from Maine. I know you're probably listening to this right now because I found out that he wants to listen to the show yesterday. Oh, wait, the other day, last Saturday. So, yeah, shout out, Ben. Okay, so before we go to that article that you added in, I would like to talk about the sad news about our loss of a great artist, an awesome actor and musician, David Bowie. He died at 69 years old, and he's an icon and a legend. So rock legend David Bowie passed away on Sunday at age 69 after an 18-month battle with cancer. The news was confirmed on Bowie's official Facebook and Twitter accounts. The announcement on social media came in the early hours of Monday morning, shocking many around the world, Bowie reportedly passed away while surrounded by his family. So, may he rest in peace. He's a great artist. What you know, I posted something on Facebook about, you know, I used to watch David Bowie's music videos. He's just, I could just remember all his music videos. It's just fascinating. And back in the 80s, we would even record it in Betamax. And I would watch it over and over again alongside with Santana and the in U2, The Cure and everything. So David Bowie is one of the mix. David, yeah, what's one of his songs? Let's Dance.
Let's Dance.
I came put on your red 80s, shoes and
put
dance.
On dance in the 80s. But my big memory of him was from Labyrinth.
Also Labyrinth, definitely.
And The Hunger.
Oh, okay.
Which
I can't
was
remember
basically what American Horror Story is kind of stolen from.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, Labyrinth, he was a great choice for the Goblin King, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
He was a good Goblin King. And
but I'm just looking at his internet database stuff. Oh, my God. He's done, the list goes on and on. He was on all kind of TV shows, all kind of movies. Life on Mars, he was on that. I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, very, very.
So he's very prolific. Well, they were talking about him that he was more than just a singer. He was an artist, a performer.
Mm-hmm.
How he influenced Madonna and Lady Gaga and all the modern people about having an image and about that you can recreate your image like he did so many times.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You're not stay this stuck one thing for all your life. So
he keeps changing stuff. He did a lot of ads. He's got... He's just transform. He transforms every time. He's an artist. Mm-hmm. He really is. So yeah. May he rest in peace, David Bowie. You'll be remembered as a great artist and actor and everything. So, all right. Let's move on to.
All right. What's more fun than a gay bear militia taking over in Oregon?
Okay. This is all over Facebook, and they posted a picture of. That Bundy guy, and he's, I would admit,
well,
know,
the
he's
joke
kind of wolfy.
Is, it's
he's
a bear,
bear
run.
It's like a bear run.
I mean, that's the joke. It's the bear run militia.
It's a bear run militia.
So, but out of this, there's all this erotic fanfic that's come up.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd read some of the top ones that have got popped up on Twitter and a couple of the others. So would you like to take the first one, Maynard?
Okay. So Jason pressed Jed against a rack of birds of Oregon books. His breath was sweet with jerky.
Oh.
They huddled together for warmth.
No, that's it. That's just one.
That's just
it.
One.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
It's these one-line zingers on Twitter.
Oh, okay. What's the other one?
All right. They huddled together for warmth. The code of Amon's Ruger 22 against Brian's naked thigh sent a thrill up his spine.
Mm-hmm. And then, it's hashtag Bundy erotic fanfic.
Fanfiction,
okay?
Yeah.
So Zeke kissed his tears away and shushed him, exploring his warmth. We, he breathed, have all the snacks we need. Okay.
All right. You're hurt, Jason whispered. That huster has bruised your shoulder. I'm fine, said Amon. No, it needs massaging.
Amon's breath quickened at the sound of rustling denim and Velcro unfastening. Just looking isn't a sin, he thought. That's cute.
Amon and Jed's passion smoldered like 50,000 acres of illegally backburned federal grazing land.
I don't want the government's hands all over my freedom, Cletus whispered.
Cletus!
What about these hands? said Amon raggedly.
Did you bring condoms? Jed whispered. Not to worry. We're protected by the First and Second Amendment, Amon replied.
Okay, so that's a hashtag Bundy erotic fanfic on Twitter if you guys want to see.
So go check it out. There's some pretty funny ones in there.
So what's going on there? It's been 2 weeks. I read the shopping list and they want, apparently there's a discussion because some people want Miracle Whip. And some people want mayonnaise. So, okay.
And just send them dicks. All I got to say, if they wasn't white, they'd have been and blow that damn place up.
They're all, yeah, that's true. I mean, who can deny that? I mean.
What do you think, Mark? give us your San Antonio opinion on that one. But yeah, I think that's true. I think I think everybody just sitting back, and because of this, they're kind of laughing at them. They're like, well, what are y'all going to do?
I know. So what are they're just there.
Well, they're
asking people for
they took this place over to protest some ranchers that were going to jail because they did some stuff and got busted for it.
Well, that was years ago, yeah.
And they were like, they shouldn't have to go to jail and blah, blah, blah. And it's the government being oppressive. So they go in and take over this preserve area stuff and nature preserve. And they're sitting there and they didn't bring food and they didn't do this.
And then they're posting and texting friends saying, hey, can you, asking people on their Facebook page or wherever, or social media, to bring us some snacks.
Yeah.
And then there's these memes that are coming out. Hey, you got guns. Go hunt for your snacks. Yeah.
The best one was somebody took Michelle Obama, and she said, and it was her holding a picture. Their snacks better be healthy.
That's right. Anyway, so there's a long list. Like, they want underwear. They want tampons for the girls there. They want, what else? They have, like I said earlier, mayonnaise and Miracle Whip. And
obviously, they did not plan.
They didn't really plan. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's just dumb. I mean,
it is stupid. And the only way it's going to come in is they're going to shut everything down, and somebody's going to go in, and people going to get shot and hurt, and it's going to be even a bigger deal. Or they're just going to let them finally give up, and then they'll arrest them. So
yeah, they should just arrest them all or something. So. Anyway, so let us know what you think. Joining us today is my friend Ron Serratia from Connecticut. Welcome to the show again. It's always a pleasure to have you, Ron.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk with you again, and as always. And once again, I'd like to thank you for what I would say is the service that you do for the community. It's really when the history of beardom is written. It would be incomplete if they had not listened to all of the Bear podcasts.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the last time I saw you was actually when Bear Week in Provincetown.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. You were helping out Wayne Hoffman, and we were there.
Wayne's book had come out, An Older Man, that takes place in Provincetown, and you interviewed him, and I was sort of slightly in the background while you did the video there, and that was because you were interviewing him, and there wasn't a copy of his book right there display, and so I tried to discreetly put one in the screen there, so.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Then I got one too from him.
Yes, but Wayne's. I'm so proud of Wayne's books, and they've done very well.
Yes, very well. That's very good. Yes. Okay, so right now I did get to read a little bit of Biggest Lover, but okay. So to our audience, Ron here has a new book coming out. It's called The Biggest Lover, and of course coming out from Bear Bones Books. And so tell us about The Biggest Lover in your own words.
Sure. Well, it's Bear Bones Books' 28th title.
Wow.
We've been publishing now for 7 years. And this is a really exciting and groundbreaking anthology of erotica, men's erotica, that is geared for big men and the men who love them. The subtitle of The Biggest Lover is Big Boned Men's Erotica for Chubs and Chasers. So, it has 21 stories. It's an anthology. So we have authors from all over North America and also from Britain. And it's a really exciting book.
It is, actually. And I've been reading some of it, and on the pre-show, we're just talking about it. It's really kind of gets me aroused. These books is really working as an erotica book, I guess.
That's what I meant by exciting, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Aroused, and I mean, look, that's it's a book that that erotica is, its intention is to stimulate, to to excite sexually the reader.
And at the same time, of course, as I read this, I could really see the talent of people that they actually have a... the way they describe things, the way they build up to it, and it's I could see the talent of how descriptive they could be, and like Furball and the Man of Substance, those are the excerpts that, the ones that I've been reading, and it's really good. And what a big question is, where do you get these guys? I mean, are these your? I'm so intrigued by these talent that you get.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm really glad to hear that so far the stories that you've read have really interested you. So, and you know, before I talk about where I get people, you know, where I get my writers, I want to say that, you know, it's not just about a certain kind of it's not just about getting a boner or stimulating yourself in that way. You know, as you will see, as you know, throughout many of the stories, particularly the contemporary ones, the ones that are in contemporary settings, because there are some like historical or fantasy stories, there's a wide variety of genres. Mm-hmm. But you'll see that they deal with the really deep issues of body shame, of fat shaming, of, you know, self-acceptance. There are really actually some very deep emotional issues that that the characters explore. And so I don't want to short shrift that aspect of it too. I mean, I think people will find, especially Chubbs, that that fat is not only affirmed, it's celebrated, mm-hmm. and it's eroticized. So, I think people will, particularly in the Chubb community, I'm fairly new to this part of the bear community, or actually you could argue that, you know, bear community is a heir or a subset of Chubb community, because mm-hmm. The Chubb Girth and Mirth was around before any bear clubs were. Mm-hmm. So in any case, bears will find themselves affirmed as well as celebrated, and I think people will find something, you know, to suit their tastes, you know, in a variety of different genres. Yeah. That said, where I get my writers from, my very talented writers, this is my ninth anthology, erotica anthology, and I edited the book under my erotica pseudonym, which is R. Jackson. That's basically just R, my first initial, and my middle name.
Yeah.
But in any case, I have a lot of writers that I depend on who are always happy to contribute to or submit a story to my my anthologies, mm-hmm. and that was true of this one, but that wasn't really enough, you know. So I had to put out an open call for submissions to the public, and publish it on blogs and websites like Lambda Literary Foundation and such. And then, sometimes it's not so much fun reading amateur work, but then you still do get a lot of really interesting and worthwhile submissions. And so so that makes up, another big part of where the stories come from.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested about the publishing thing, because, you know, Ray here, right? My co-host Ray, he's not here right now, but then he's actually an aspiring writer. If you don't even know that, he's actually trying to do some writing himself. And let's just say he has an erotica story and wants to submit it. What is the process? Can one
submit to you? Just is there some kind of screening that needs to be done and some back and forth? Tell us the process.
Well, most of my anthologies are based on themes. And so, the first three Berotica anthologies that I edited were sort of general. But now, increasingly, the anthology that I did before this one was Hibernation. That was specifically poetry. The one before that was Tales from the Den, which was specifically horror and spooky, scary stories, supernatural stories. So I usually am really looking for something kind even more specific than just erotic stories for bears. Mm-hmm. Now. So, but when we do have a call for submissions for an anthology, we always publish it on our website, which is barebonesbooks.com. That's BEARBONESBOOKS. Mm-hmm. And so we always, and I also try to publish it to the bear pages on Facebook and, the groups and such. And use as much social media that I can so that anyone who might be interested in contributing to one of these anthologies has the opportunity to.
I see. Okay. So I always think of you as a book machine. You really get these out really fast and everything. And it feels like every year you have something coming out. So
fast? I don't think so exactly. You don't really see the months and months of sort of cogitating about the idea and who would I ask to do and then the call for submissions goes out and it's maybe 8 months that I'm collecting stories, but then I don't get enough stories. And so then I have to put out the call for submissions to other people. So then it's another 9 months. So it's really, this particular book has been in the works for at least 4 years.
Oh, really? Okay. I think it felt like it's more often than that. Oh, I see. Right. So that's pretty much how long it takes.
But I do have projects planned, from year to year. I try to have, Bare Bones Books publishes three titles a year, but they're not just mine. I try to bring out a book every year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, which is great. I mean, that's a way to do it. I think you keep people interested, people who are into erotica. It's not always erotica though, right?
More recently I had two collections of bawdy Turkish folktales.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I came out with. So I have interests other than erotica. Yeah. and such. And I, as I edited a collection of poetry. And so I do, I've also, received three Lambda Literary Award nominations for my nonfiction anthologies.
Oh.
So I'm not really a genre specific kind of guy. So, my tastes as an editor widely vary. Because otherwise, it gets kind of boring.
Yeah, you kind of have to diversify the
ones.
So, okay.
It's just like, and to bring up something topical, it's just like, I remember, I just saw an interview with David Bowie.
Oh, that's right.
And he was talking about how every project that he worked on, it was just slightly outside of his comfort range, something outside of his previous experience, and that's what really, he felt like made him an artist, that he was willing to continually, run along the margins, and yep. so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I could hardly compare myself to a genius like him, but artistically, but in my humble way, that I try to do the same thing. I try to come up with books. And this is, it's actually kind of astounding to me that in 2016, this should be the first book of erotica for men who chubs and chasers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have thought someone else would have come up with it before, but no. So, you know.
Yeah. So when is this coming out?
So it's Valentine. The official release date is Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Okay.
And I just received my copies in the mail, and it's beautiful. I have one in my hands. I wish I could show it to you. It's just
it's a
gorgeous cover,
cool.
And the design is really beautiful. And
okay, so I should ask: is this somebody I know? the cover, the picture, and the back.
Oh, I don't even know.
Oh, you don't know.
I rarely usually the publisher and the designer come up with a cover.
Uh-huh, okay.
I mean, I have input into it, but I didn't choose the model and such. Actually, I had been advocating for someone non-white to be featured on one of our covers. Mm-hmm. Since diversity is a concern for me.
Yeah.
I mean, on the inside, I mean, we have a contribution from a trans man. We have two stories by women. Mm-hmm. And we have two stories by black writers and two stories by Latino writers.
I see. Wow,
so, you know, really have been trying to make an effort to, you know, show the community in as many diverse ways as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about 2016. So what are your plans for, what's your future plans for Bare Bones Books?
Well, we have two books coming out from our most popular author, Jeff Mann. The first book is called Country, which is about a bear who's a country singer, a popular country singer who comes out. And, so what happens in his life? For Halloween, that's supposed to come out in time for, Bear Week.
Mm, okay.
In late May or early June, I believe. And for Halloween, Jeff Mann has prepared a novel called Insatiable, which is based on a character, his vampire bear character.
Oh,
that was the subject. Was the subject of the his book Desire and Devour, which was collected. It was a collection of short stories using the same character, the bear vampire, Derek, whose name is Derek McLean.
That's so interesting. Oh,
so, but this is supposed to be I have not read either of his books yet, the drafts of them, even though they're primarily finished. Mm-hmm. But we can expect that from Bare Bones Books.
Awesome.
And then next year, I'm anticipating. Not from Bare Bones, but from our father publisher, Leithy Press. Bare Bones is an imprint of Leithy Press. So I'm planning to do an erotica, another erotica anthology, which is basically a second volume of bisexual men's erotica, mm-hmm. called Bi Men, Bi Guys.
Bi Guys.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, God, you're going to be busy this year. Wow, that's awesome.
I you have to try to at least try to earn my keep.
That's <I'm> right. Sure. Okay, so I guess the big book right now, The Biggest Lover, it's going to be out on February 14, and it's going to be available on Bare Bones Books. And where else? Where else is it going to be? In Amazon? Where is this going to be?
It's already listed on Amazon. In fact, you can order it. It's available for pre-publication order. And I'm not entirely sure, but Amazon should probably start, since we have our copies in hand. Amazon distribution should be getting their copies in next week, which means by the end of the month, people can order and copies will be shipped out.
Okay.
So that's my understanding. And then it'll also be carried on Kindle, as well as on Goodreads and Smashwords. If people like our page, Bare Bones Books, on Facebook, we will be having some free giveaways of digital copies of the book.
Awesome.
Excuse me. Yeah. And eventually it'll be available in all digital formats as well as soft cover.
Okay. Yeah,
you can always order the book from your local brick and mortar bookstore. I have to say that.
Yeah, you have to do that most of the time. Oh. So, okay. So, well, I'm looking forward to finishing this book, and but I hope everything goes well on your launch on February 14th.
Thank you. Well, I hope you read as far so that you have a. See one of the happy endings.
It feels like each chapter is a happy ending. Or it has a happy ending. I don't know.
That's good. Well, it's good to know. I feel like my job is done.
That's right.
Thank you so much for having me, Nard. It's great talking with you as always. And I will see you at Bear Week this year?
Probably not. There's other plans. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think if plans change, then probably we can go. Thank you so much, Ron. It's always exciting to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Nard. Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. All right, for our gay article here, it's an article that was posted on the Gay Geek Bizarre Facebook page. And it says here, after my HIV diagnosis, kink sex saved my life. So, okay, it's an interesting article because, you know, it has a positive side to this. Okay, so just the first paragraph of the article. When I found out I was HIV positive, I knew I was going to die. This was in September 2013. Doctors told me I was going to be fine, that HIV is now a livable illness. A close friend took his pill from his shirt pocket and said, "This is your HIV, this is it." And I didn't listen. So it is a long article. It's a guy who was relating his story that kink saved his life. So I just did some bullet points of, you know, some of the points of his story. So when he found out he was positive, he would go through Grindr and Scruff to hook up. Okay, so he would just furiously scroll up and down. So he would always bareback without telling their status. It's really bad, you know. You hook up with someone, you don't tell your status. Or why do you even, I don't know. People hook up because they want.
Nobody questions it.
Or maybe they're in prep. And of course, he was just doing zombie sex at that point. Like, he's just zonked out. He just want to have sex left and right because he doesn't care anymore. And he later realized that he wasn't going to die. When he wakes up in the morning with a trick or anything, he realized that he's not really going to die because it's like everybody says, what the doctor would say also, that it's a livable disease now. And you just need to, you know, watch what you're taking. So he thought about kink. Just all of a sudden, he just thought about kink, and it does not necessarily involve anal sex. So he turned to that. So he used to have a dom friend, dominant friend. What's the reverse of dom? Sub. So dominant, sub. Okay. So he was a sub for a dom. Okay. But he stopped seeing him when he was diagnosed with HIV. After this realization that he had, he continued with the dom and they became close friends. So they continued on. So he would tie him up and Ray's giving a thumbs up. The dom would tie him up and, you know, do anal sex on him and he would have mind-blowing sex, you know. So that's what they did. And through kink, he rediscovered a positive outlook on sex. It's just a matter of choosing life. And that's what he did. And I guess that is an option for people who are HIV positive, and if they don't, they're worried about infecting other people, although they are safe and everything, they try to be safe whenever having sex. Their alternative is to just do kink sex. They would do sensory deprivation. They would do mummification. They would do bondage. What else? What am I missing?
There's a million things.
Give me a few. Give me one. I said sensory deprivation, mummification, actual being tied up. Electrocution. Yeah, that's one. That's the one. Yeah, electrocution. And what else?
I don't think there's electrocution.
Well, not electrocution, but it's more like violent wand. Yeah, violent wand. It's like shocking. And what else?
And there's electro, which is totally different.
Electro. What's electro?
It's like where they use stuff to make your muscles contract.
Oh, that's usually for exercise. Doctors do that, don't they? Yeah. Where do they put it?
All over.
All over. What do they put it in their balls?
Well, it's usually done on either a butt plug and on your butt or on your penis, so you kind of self-ejaculate without doing it.
Oh, God, that sounds painful.
See, it is not painful.
It is not painful. How do you know, Ray?
I'm all-knowing.
You're all-knowing. Yeah. It's not, you just know or you experienced it.
I just know.
You just know. Have you seen someone use those electrode things on their penis? Really? And what's the sensation?
I don't know. It's not being used on me. But they orgasmed.
Really?
Yes.
You never asked a person. Okay. Or audience, if you have experiences, let us know if you have tried electrocution in your penis.
That equipment is out of my price range.
Oh, really? That's expensive? Yeah. I thought that's one of those you buy from...
No. The basic stuff starts off at like $200 or $300 for a basic electro unit. And then you have to buy all the cords and you have to buy the implements.
Is this the one you... There's a potentiometer, you just jack it up all the way up? Is that kind of thing?
No, it's not like that.
No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know one of those.
You know not what you talk about, so stop now.
That's why I'm asking. If you know a lot of it, you're going to tell.
This is Bear Podcast, not BDSM Podcast.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe that's taken already. Yeah. Okay, Ray, let's go to the next story.
On to our next little gay story. Gay couple lock lips at National Hockey League and kiss on cam. A gay couple reportedly made history Friday, becoming the first same-sex couple to smooch it up on a kiss cam in NHL history, according to OutSports. Brad Parr and Andy Evans told OutSports they were secretly hoping to be caught on the big screen Friday night when the Los Angeles Kings played the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Staples Center in Los Angeles. After the men appeared on the kiss cam and locked lips, the crowd went nuts and cheered. The video of Parr and Evans' special moment has earned more than 85,000 views on YouTube. So, yay!
Yay!
I never get the kiss cam when I'm in a game, but then I'm never in a game, so.
So, okay. Would you kiss a guy, even if you know, even if you're dating someone or whatever, or you know, you're with a guy, and the kiss cam goes to you? Would you really do make a? Are you gonna do that really? Oh my god, with the tongue, you're gonna. That's gross. Well, kissing is not gross, but if you do the, you know. Stick out your tongue and then make out. It's supposed to be romantic.
One man's gross is another man's hotness.
Okay. All right, let's go to the geek. The geek right now, probably you are watching this on your unlimited data plan on your AT&T. Probably.
No.
Okay, so AT&T, for the past year or so, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they have data caps and everything. Except for, okay, fine. T-Mobile, they may have
unlimited plans right now. Unless you're grandfathered on the AT&T plan like I used to be.
Yeah, you used to be grandfathered in, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So AT&T, unlimited mobile data plan is back. Okay. But there's a catch. It's only available to UVerse and DirecTV subscribers. So you're kind of screwed if you're not.
So you have to have UVerse, DirecTV, and a phone through AT&T.
Then you can have an unlimited AT&T
So they're making enough money off you, it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after discontinuing its unlimited data plan back in 2010, AT&T has brought them back as a bundle with its UVerse TV and new DirecTV services. If you're a subscriber on either of those,
one or the other.
The plan costs $100 for a single smartphone with additional lines at $40 each. That's a far cry from the $30 that grandfathered subscribers of the older unlimited plans pay through, though AT&T will also lop $10 off of your DirecTV or UVerse bill. New subscribers will get throttled at the same 22 gigabyte limit as older users. But we'll also get unlimited texts and talking. So 22 gigabytes is pretty big still. And you get throttled when you reach that point. I can't even use 6 gigabytes in a month on my phone. So yeah, it's
I just wish we had decent Wi-Fi here at the house so I could watch TV.
What do you mean? You watch? It's not enough? 50 Mbps is not fast enough for you?
Watching a movie, I had to keep downgrading and downgrading the quality of it so it would quit stopping.
Oh, really?
I had to watch Hotel Transylvania 2 the other night. And for the first 10 minutes of it, I had to keep going in and stopping the movie and downgrading until finally I was
first like, world problem.
I was like on like, somebody was just flipping the screens for me.
Oh, okay. Look, man, no hands. Mm-hmm. And you're satisfying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, your hands. Okay.
All right. On to the bazaar.
All right. Let's go to the bazaar.
Man sets himself and apartment on fire while trying to kill bed bugs. I can understand this. There could have been a spider involved, too. A man accidentally set himself and his Detroit apartment on fire while trying to kill bed bugs, according to reports. The unidentified 30-year-old is a tenant sprayed rubbing alcohol on his couch and body early January 3rd in a bid to eliminate the pest, the Detroit Free Press reported. He sat around 4:30 a.m. and lit a cigarette and also tried to burn one of the critters, but the alcohol-soaked chair caught fire. The seat in his body went up in flames, which spread the rest of his eighth-floor apartment at the St. Anton Gardens complex in Midtown. The man escaped the devastating blaze but suffered severe burns, according to CBS Detroit. Johan LaRosa, another resident at the complex, saw the man in the lobby and prayed with him at his request before emergency crews arrived. He was melting, LaRosa told the Detroit Free Press. I was scared. He was screaming. The injured man was taken to the hospital where he's now recovering. His current condition is not known. Detroit is the most bedbug-infested city in the U.S., followed by Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Los Angeles, according to a report of the pest control company Terminix, which reminds me not to go to Detroit, Philadelphia, Cleveland, or Los Angeles. New York used to have a big bed bug problem.
They have a bed bug problem?
They used to. I stayed in New York in a hotel in New York one time, and the next day I was all itchy and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bed bugs. So it's just interesting that... Oh, wait. Okay. There's one story that I'd like to tell about. There was one time here in the stairs, before Ray went upstairs, there was this lowly, small... spider.
You're lucky if I'd had gasoline, it'd have been doused and burnt.
Thank God you didn't have any. It was a spider, a small spider right in the stairs.
Doused with gasoline and burnt.
And Ray just, he was scared. It was just, oh my God, Vader, just, there's a spider.
The spider was this big.
No, it was not that big. It was barely a finger.
And it was sitting there hissing at me going,
it was funny. Ray was just scared. And then I had to take care of it.
It was a brown recliner.
Brown recluse. What did I do? Did I kill it or did
yes,
I?
You killed it.
I think I captured it and put it outside or did I flush it? What did
probably
I do?
Flushed
I
can... it.
Okay.
The only good spider is a dead spider.
Poor Ray. Anyway.
It's about like that day we were visiting Jane Mansfield's grave along.
Oh, yes.
And we turned around. There was all these riding spiders everywhere. And I about screamed like a big old girl.
He stayed in the car. Oh, my God. Well, Mike was trying to take a good picture of, you know, the Mansfield crucifix or cross. There's a cross there. And then there was this big spider almost got one.
No, it's there were so numerous big spiders. It was like a scene out of Arachnophobia.
So you must have loved Arachnophobia. Did you watch it?
I watched it.
But then
when one eye closed, I switched eyes.
You switched eyes? It's got John Goodman in it.
Yep. So let's talk about our audience feedback in your XTube channel.
He's getting
let's talk about Maynard's XTube channel, because I went and checked this out, and it is you.
No, it's not me.
That is so you, Maynard.
It's not me. Thanks, Jay,
and
for
Mr.
the link.
I don't know anything about BDSM. I'm doing a sounding and stuff live.
No,
like,
it's
oh,
not me. Jay, thank you for the link. Mike really appreciates it. But it's not me. Okay?
You kinky little bastard, Jay. You've been holding out on me.
Jay, you're so naughty. I can't believe you watch Bear Lover. Oh my god. Okay, so I guess that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was pretty fun. And what else are we gonna do this week?
Oh no, I'm still recovering from being sick, so
you don't sound sick anymore. That's good.
I'm still going.
You know, I resisted because you were sick. I was in New Orleans. Mike was sick too, and I'm still okay because I've been around all you guys, and that, wow, I'm kind of resisting you guys.
But you were sick the week before.
Oh, since it's possible that the antibiotics was helping me.
Yeah, probably helped you.
Help me resist it, maybe. That's also a possibility. We'll see. Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening to the show. We have 3 more episodes to go. Before our last episode is episode 600. The last is going to be, 3 weeks from now. And I hope you guys enjoyed after all these years of this show go running. And then, yeah, okay. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can still give us a call and get your voicemail on the show at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call and leave us a message, and we will gladly play it on the show.
Yeah.
But call soon.
Because we're ending on episode 600. The last episode is episode 600. And the subscribe via iTunes and Vimeo YouTube. And you can also listen to the show on the Stitch Radio and Bear Radio Network. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast.